We praise and are grateful to God today for another wonderful opportunity to contemplate a lesson from His holy word related to His church that is so mistaught and so much confusion about. And we began looking last week, which we will conclude today, at the lesson on the only source of divine authority today. And we began with that one point that we spent the lesson on. The Father has given Jesus all authority, that is, in heaven and on earth. And yet, we cannot stop there. We must go forward and look at how Jesus' authority has been used so that we might understand and be able to apply it in relation to living the Christian life and working together as a local church. Jesus promised to give authority to His apostles. He spoke truth to His apostles, those who He sent out to teach others the truth. But He also promised the apostles that He would send the Holy Spirit in conjunction with His Father to guide them into all the truth. And in order for us to receive Jesus, we must be willing to receive the teaching of His apostles. And so let us look at this for just a few moments this morning. While Jesus was on earth, He spoke the truth to His apostles, His chosen ones, those 12. John 17 and verse 7. Now they have come to know, Jesus said, that everyone you have given me, everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly know, truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. And so it's clear that Jesus spoke the word of truth to His disciples, His apostles, when He was on the earth. But He was going to die on the cross, and did, for the sins of the world. And He would ascend back to heaven, where He is now at the right hand of God, thankfully ruling over heaven and earth in spite of all evil, until He comes again, when the last enemy, death, shall have been put under His feet. But during the time He was with the disciples, the last time He was with them before He died, He spoke, or one of the last times He was with them before He died, He promised that after He departed back to His Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, who is also God, would be sent to them. And why would He be sent to them? John 14 and verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, a lot of people get mixed up and confused because they think the same promises that were made to the apostles regarding the Holy Spirit have been made to them also. And it's so sad. We'll mention this later, but when you hear these people talk who sincerely believe that they have miraculous powers to speak a divine revelation given directly by the Holy Spirit or perform miracles, they really sound like they have a mental difficulty. I don't want to be unkind, but they sound incredibly disturbed. Not because they are not sincere, but because their actions that they purport as being from God don't match up with what we read even in the New Testament, even how the apostles spoke and provided miracles. They cannot match, even come close to matching the apostles, and there's a reason for that, because the Word of God has been completed, and has been completely confirmed, and so we do not have divine revelation today and miracles today performed by those people who claim to do them. But we do have the divine record of them for us to have faith in Jesus and be saved by the gospel and live the Christian life. We'll come to that more in a few minutes. Jesus also said the Holy Spirit would not only bring to your remembrance all things. Now, he doesn't bring to my remembrance all things or your remembrance in a supernatural way. We must study. We must learn. If we can't recall something, we must look into the Word of God and try to find that which we are trying to remember. They didn't have that problem. He would bring to your remembrance all things. But in John 16 and verse 12, Jesus also said, I have many more things to say to you, to the apostles, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He would guide them into all truth. Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So the point is that he will guide you into all truth. Now, either the Holy Spirit did that or he did not. If he failed to do that, then there's more truth to come, which is the claim of many. Who have spoken and written many false things that they claim to be of God. But we believe he did reveal to them all truth, and by the hands of the apostles and in other men inspired by the Holy Spirit, that all the truth has been written down so that we might be able to understand it. In John 13 and verse 20, a little bit before, also the same night before Jesus died, John 13 and verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. That is, we must receive the apostles in order to receive Jesus. John 17 and verse 20, later that night when Jesus prayed for the unity of believers, John 17 and verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, the word of the apostles, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And so Jesus prayed for unity of the believers, becoming Christians in the way that the apostles taught by the Holy Spirit, and then abiding in the apostles' teaching to work as local churches and to live daily as Christians. And that's exactly what they did after hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel through faith, repentance, and confessing Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized, immersed in water. For the forgiveness of their sins, they, in Acts 2 and verse 42, when they became Christians by the grace of God, forgiven by the blood of Jesus through obedient faith, Acts 2:42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, sharing together in the work of God, to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and to prayer. And so they continued learning the apostles' teaching and worshiping and working together as a local church. But not only did the is the Word of God the standard, the apostles' teaching the standard of authority, the apostles spoke, confirmed by miracle, and wrote the authorized teaching of the Lord. That is, guided by the Holy Spirit, every word they spoke in relation to God's Word was accurate and was what needed to be taught, what the Holy Spirit intended to be taught, and they were directly guided by Him in their speaking. In Acts chapter 2, the first preaching of the gospel preached in Jerusalem 10 days after Jesus ascended back into heaven. Acts 2 and verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, this is the apostles, not everybody in the room, but the apostles, the 12 chosen apostles, through whom the gospel would be taught in Jerusalem. And they spoke in other tongues, guided by the Holy Spirit, not only in the words that they spoke, but the languages that they had not learned. What were these languages? Were they nonsensical, chaotic, non-human languages? No. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 8, and how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? They were languages acquired in other parts of the Roman Empire by these fellow Jews, and they were understanding what was being said by the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit. We know they were guided by the Holy Spirit because they were perfectly speaking in languages that they had never learned, but their countrymen had learned in other parts of the Roman Empire. Those languages identified, as you read past verse 8, you'll see some of those identified. In Acts 2 and verse 42, after they preached the gospel, and some, 3,000 in fact or more, thousands of the crowd, believed enough to repent and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. Again in verse 42, after becoming Christians by the grace of God, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And the purpose of these wonders and signs were to confirm the word of God, that it is from God. It is not our word, it is God's word. And these miracles in Acts 2 were done at the hands of the apostles. They spoke the word of God directly guided by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." And so it's clear that what they spoke directly came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way today, but He did with the apostles and a certain select set of other men to guide them into what became the New Testament. And they not only spoke it, but they confirmed it by miracles which were given them by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. "For this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through, for if the word, hold on. For if the word spoken through angels and proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty that is under the law of Moses, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation under the gospel? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them both in signs and wonders and by various miracles, by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So these miracles were not for the aggrandizement or the exaltation of those who did them. They were for the confirmation of the spoken word of God. But we were not there to hear Jesus himself or to hear the apostles speak the word of God, but thankfully, by the plan of God, they wrote those things down. They wrote those things down, preserved, and carried forward to this day so that we might be able to read and come to obedient faith based upon the truth of what the Holy Spirit revealed to them. Ephesians 3 and verse 1, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, that is non-Jews, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, unmerited favor, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, that which had been concealed in the past. As I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that is, by the Holy Spirit. To be specific, this mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That is, we all have access to the same God, to the same mercy, through the same gospel, the sacrifice of Jesus, his resurrection and ascension to heaven, opportunity to obey the gospel and be cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus. No one is above another in the kingdom of God. All are received on the same terms because all have sinned, Jew and Gentile, and all must uphold to the same standard the apostles' teaching. Verse 7 of Ephesians 3, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. But he says, I wrote those things before to you in brief that you may understand. So they not only spoke the things, but they wrote them so that they might be called to mind in later generations to be followed. And the same power of God that saved by the spoken word of the apostles would save by the written word of the apostles. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, not only the spoken word was the word of God, but the written word of the apostles and inspired men was the word of God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, Paul said, if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandments. So the point is that Paul said this word that is written is just as authoritative as the word that is spoken. In John 20 and verse 30, the Apostle John, almost at the end of his gospel, to bring about faith in Jesus as the Son of God, John 20 and verse 30, therefore many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So without seeing Jesus, without seeing the apostles, without having the Holy Spirit direct us personally in the Word of God, without writing the Word of God down to others, we can read the Word of God that has been written down for all, confirmed by miracle, and come to faith in the Lord Jesus, and we believe that that purpose is not in vain. There's not one thing that a human being needs to tell me that I cannot read about in the Word of God. And as I said, if they tell me what is in the Word of God, then they have that is good. But if they go beyond, then that is where we must stand with the written Word of God and reject whatever is said. The New Testament is God's complete, final, all-sufficient guide for us today. In the New Testament, it claims to be God's complete and all-sufficient truth, the only guiding word that we must follow today. Until Jesus comes again, the old covenant pointed to a new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31. But after Jesus inaugurated the new covenant in his death and that revelation of the new covenant in the Gospels and the Acts and the letters that were written by Paul and others, then that claims to be God's final complete revelation, and the apostles do not point to any further revelation to be given by anybody. And so everybody who is claiming continuing revelation today, that is divine teaching given directly by the Holy Spirit to them, is deceived. Everybody who is claiming confirming the Word of God today by miracles performed through them is deceived. We have all that God is going to say, because that's how God has chosen to reveal himself to mankind. He could speak directly to all of us by the Holy Spirit if that's what he intended, but that's not what he intended. He intended for what he said to certain select men to be written down so that faith could be universally preached and learned and obeyed throughout the world century after century, to the fidelity of what God said, not the emotions and the dreams and the so-called visions and revelations to those who are deceived. Many churches claim either that this word has been corrupted or it has not been completed. That leads to false revelations and miracles. And those examples of those false churches, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, and also the Pentecostals, all of them believe that God is still speaking today miraculously, and God is still performing miracles today through people. None of that is so. None of that is so. The New Testament does not point to any of these false teachers as we should look for them and follow them after their departure. The apostles only point back to themselves, point back to what had been taught and what had been written, and not to depart from that which had been written. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. That means one time only. How much of the faith was handed down? All of it. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. This faith was once for all delivered. Always go back to it to judge what anybody has to say, whether it's me or any other teacher of the Word of God or whoever they are. In Hebrews 10 and verse 10, by this will we have been sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Just as Jesus sacrificed for sins once for all, the faith, the truth of God complete has been delivered once for all, written down and confirmed by miracle. And so we don't have to go to the ends of the earth or even on YouTube or anywhere else or television or radio to hear some modern day so-called prophet to say a word from God as they claim or to see a miracle performed as they claim. Our faith is not in continuing revelation and continued miracles. It is in what has already been completed, what has already been 100% accurate and brought forth and confirmed by authentic miracles by the Holy Spirit, as the words were given by the Holy Spirit. And they are sufficient, completely sufficient for our learning to be a Christian day to day and to work and worship with the local church in the way that God would have us do. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Do I need a modern day prophet or a modern day miracle worker in order to find something that God failed to say in His Word, but He has spoken through them? No. He said all that He's going to say to us in His Word that thankfully has been preserved and handed down to us even today. Acts 20 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul to the elders at Ephesus, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God." And that whole purpose of God, the Word of God in verse 32 of Acts 20, "And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So the Word of God is to bring us to God and bring us into eternity. All that we need to know is there. The question is, are we willing to study it? And once we have found the truth, are we willing to reject all error, current and past error, whatever it may be that would lead us away from the Word of God? In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, the Word of God is sufficient for us to develop and live as Christians and work with a local church. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, that is, pleasing God, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, be like God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lusts," that is, deceptive desires after the lies of Satan. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, great effort in your faith, supply moral excellence," that is, moral courage, virtue, "and in your moral courage, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, endurance, and in your perseverance, godliness, pleasing God. and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, treating each other in a loving manner, and in your brotherly kindness, love, that is sacrificial love, as Jesus died on the cross for us, then we sacrifice for others. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Can that be done by following and applying diligently the scriptures? Evidently it can. And so we don't need modern day revealers of something and modern day so-called miracle workers. We need to have faith in what was accurately and completely revealed by the Holy Spirit and faithfully confirmed by the Holy Spirit through miracles which they performed. We don't need to be tangled up in the process, but we are beneficiaries of the process of the revealed New Testament. But we are not part of the process of how it was revealed. And so that is the fatal mistake of so many, trusting in deception, thinking that they too, for some reason, have a part in the process of God speaking and God acting by miracle. God still heals. Only God can heal. But not by somebody saying God performed a miracle through me. Because what you are talking about 9 times out of 10 is not even parallel to the New Testament. It's something different than the New Testament that you're claiming God is confirming. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, like the Bereans, now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's how we need to be. Examine these things, what I preach, what anybody preaches, what we believe, to see whether they harmonize in context with the Word of God. Galatians 1 and verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. That is, he is to be rejected. That would take care of all the churches that I mentioned that believe in continuing revelation and miracles, all of them would be disqualified as to be followed and being a part of as false churches, all of them differing from the gospel that has already been preached. Then finally, what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, there was a time where there was miracles and prophecy, the time in which Paul lived, until the completed word of God would come. And when the completed word of God came, that we have is the New Testament, then there are no more miraculous revelations or other types of miracles because we have God's truth complete given to us. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, love never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecies, they will be done away. And now they have been done away for several thousand years. If there are tongues, they will cease, they have ceased, the ability to speak in foreign languages. If there is knowledge, supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit, it will be done away. It has been done away. Paul said at that time, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, that is, different parts of God's truth was given to different men to proclaim, But when the perfect, the complete Word of God comes, the partial, the miracles, the prophecies will be done away, because no longer do we need to have revelation and confirmation. It is all complete in its fullness, the work of the Holy Spirit in that way. The Father has given Jesus all authority. As we come to the close of our lesson, Jesus promised to give that authority to his apostles. The apostles spoke, they confirmed, and they wrote the authorized teaching of the Lord. And the New Testament is complete. It's God's final, all-sufficient guide for us to follow today. And so, we close the lesson pleading with anyone and all listening that we take note and follow the gospel to belief and obedience before it is too late, and after we become Christians, continue to follow it in how we lead our daily lives and how we work together as a local church wherever we may be living in this world, and not be deceived by those who are already deceived, thinking the Holy Spirit is speaking to them today and is revealing to them God's will and is performing miracles. They have already been done. It has already been confirmed, and we don't have to be deceived by them or by anyone else that they have something essential that God has never revealed to any human being, that only in this time God has revealed to them. That is a deception. The Holy Spirit did a complete work in revealing God's teaching through the apostles and other inspired men, and now we have it, that we may be ready for every good work. If you're here today and not a child of God, we would encourage you, if you are listening today, to obey the gospel and believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins, change your mind about your sins, and turn to God. Confess him as the Son of God and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and come up out of the water of baptism, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, the gracious blood of Jesus, by the powerful blood of Jesus, to walk in newness of life, dying to sin, living to righteousness, abiding by the grace of God in the apostles' teaching, to live as a Christian and work with the local church according to the apostles' teaching, not the traditions of men. And after we are baptized, rejoicing in our salvation, when we fall back into sin, we are instructed to repent, confess our sins, and pray that the Lord will forgive us our sins, that we may continue to grow in his grace and his knowledge and be changed and transformed by the same gospel that forgives us. If anyone is here, if whoever we may be, then let us yield ourselves while there is life given by a gracious God to obedience to his honor and glory to our salvation, as we draw the lesson now to a close.